before God. Therefore, because we are guilty before God, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And then he gives us the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to show us that we are sinners or that we are guilty. It is not the purpose of the law to free us from guilt. The law condemns. In verse 24, we see in verse 23 states, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that fact, justification, again, cannot be in and of ourselves. And we read in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we are justified freely by his grace. And this is through, or the channel for this, is the redemption that it is present tense in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 28 of Romans chapter 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So man is justified by faith. This faith is separate from the deeds of the law. So after making this clear presentation of the doctrine of justification by faith as opposed to works, Paul then proceeds in chapter 4 to illustrate this truth by using Abraham as an example. And that brings us into chapter 5. But the doctrine of justification is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Because in that we see Christ in our place. In justification, we see Christ living a perfect life of righteousness, just as if you and I had lived that life of righteousness. That is, his righteousness is put to our account. In justification, we see Christ going to the cross, bearing the full penalty of sin, just as if you and I had died upon that cross. So again, we see Christ in our stead. Now we, the saved, John 3 verse 18, we were condemned already. That's how we were by nature. That's how we were by birth. We came into this world condemned. Romans 8 verse 1 tells us, but now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So the dread sentence of the law, which is thou shalt surely die, not speaking of physical death, but speaking of eternal death, thou shalt surely die, that cannot be executed upon the one who is justified. We are under no condemnation. So justification is the same in all the saved. One individual is no more justified than another individual. Justification is the same in every single one of us. The act of justification is the same in all the saved. And this is a truth that needs to get a hold of our hearts, and such will cause our cup to run over, and such will compel us to serve the Lord. So Paul establishes the doctrine of justification. And having established that doctrine, he now begins to draw the practical conclusion. And that's what we see here in verse 5. Therefore, going back to everything that he said so far upon this subject, therefore being, present tense, speaking of our quality or our state, therefore being justified by faith. And that's what we want to speak on this evening, is the blessed results of justification. And we see those results here in Romans chapter 5. So again, let's look at these verses. We'll look at some other verses as well. But therefore, being justified by faith, we, the justified, have present tense possession. So this is not something that we have to wait for. We have to wait for our glorified state. But what we have here, we do not have to wait for. We have it right now. We have it right now. It's complete right now. So we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, the result of that is, one result of that is, we have peace with God. Those three words, peace with God, speak of a relationship with God. I don't believe we can fully appreciate those words, peace with God. We would have to fully understand what it means to be at enmity with God. We would have to fully understand what it means to be under the condemnation of God, to fully understand peace with God. But it is that peace with God is the result of justification. It is what follows justification. People will give advice and they will say, I suggest you make peace with God. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Justification does that. And justification is an act of God. So there is no peace with God without you and I being declared just by God. And in and of ourselves, we can never be declared just because we're not just. We're guilty. And we'll always be guilty in and of ourselves. So before sin entered the human race, Adam and Eve had peace with God. God walked with them in the garden. God communed with them. But then they sinned. And that peace that they had with God was shattered. And as a result, they fled from God. As a result, they were seeking to hide from God. And ever since, the guilty sinner comes into this world doing the same thing, seeking to flee from God, seeking to hide from God. Notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's put there for emphasis, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. That is, they've all gone out of God's way. And they are together become unprofitable or useless. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then again he states in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He goes on in Romans. In chapter 5 and verse 10, he declares that we were an enemy. We were an enemy to God. It says, we were enemies. Before salvation, we were enemies. Romans 8 and verse 7, we see that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. We see in Ephesians 2 and verse 13 that we were far off from God. That we were alienated. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. And it goes on to say, alienated and enemies in your minds, that's inward, and by wicked works, that's outward. Colossians 1 verse 21. So we were enemies with God within us. We were outward enemies of God. But now we read here in Romans 5 in verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's quite a change. from being an enemy of God. But notice what it says here in Romans chapter 5. We have peace with God through, there's the channel of this peace. Here's how it comes about. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 verse 25. He is referred to as the one whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. And a propitiation is something that appeases, something that satisfies justice. Jesus Christ was appointed to be our propitiation. That is, He was appointed by God to appease God's justice on our behalf. He was appointed by God to satisfy God's justice on our behalf. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, we read, there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is one who stands between two parties at variance. The very idea of a mediator speaks of enmity, speaks of variance, speaks of a disagreement. And Jesus Christ is the one who stands between God and the sinner. Without this, there is no justification. Justification through our Lord Jesus Christ. And being justified, we have peace with God, or we have been reconciled to God. And it's all because of Christ. Notice Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. For if when we were enemies, notice we were reconciled to God. That's not by the deeds of the law, Romans 3 verse 20. But we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, or the life that He lived. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Notice who it is, both in Romans 5, verse 10, and here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Who is it that does the reconciling? Is it man that makes peace with God? No. It is something that God does. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. How does He do that? By Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. That He, well, in verse 15, talks about making peace. In verse 16, and He, and that He might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In order to be justified, God has to do something with the enmity that exists. And what does He do? He slays it. He slays it. He puts an end to it. Colossians 1 verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. How does He do this? In the body of His flesh through death. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Notice Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive, regenerated, together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that which brought the enmity between us and God. It says He blotted it out, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. In other words, it's crucified, it's slain, the enmity. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we see a result of justification is we have peace with God. And it is God who has done that. Now notice if we go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. By whom, which goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ, also, in addition to, by whom also, in addition to having peace with God because of this justification, we also have access by faith. The word access occurs three times in the New Testament. Here in Romans chapter 5, occurs again in Romans or Ephesians 2 verse 18, and again in Ephesians 3 and verse 12. And it has reference to a freedom to enter through the assistance or through the favor of another. So what we have here in verse 2, by whom, Jesus Christ, we have access, we have freedom to enter by the assistance of, or by the favor of, by the works of Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith. That word access also conveys the idea of an introduction. An introduction. There was a time before salvation when we had no right. We had absolutely no right of entry into the presence of God. None. None whatsoever. God, knowing we had no right of entry, we had nothing in ourselves to commend us to God. So God sends Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ has every right because He's holy. He has every right of access. And having dealt with our sins, He can take us by the hand and present us to God. In other words, He introduces us to God. This person now has right to enter into the presence of God. Not because of who we are. Again, by whom also we have access. It's by Him. It's by Him. This is a result. This is result number two of justification. The first is that we have peace with God. And now we have access. We have access because He not only has slain the enmity, He has done away with the enmity, He has also clothed us in His righteousness. And all because of Him, we have the right to approach God. We have the right to be in the presence of God. And that's why, again, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, where we were last week, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. We can do so because of Jesus Christ, not because of us. You and I can never come boldly in and of ourselves. But because of who He is, because of what Christ has done, I have right. I have a right to approach God. This is a result of justification. By whom also? That's fantastic to have peace with God. But it gets better. We not only have peace with God, we have access. And it's by faith. Having been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have a relationship with God in which we can receive the benefits and blessings from God which we could not receive before. Then notice the third thing, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith. And then notice what it says. Into. So we have access, we have approach, we have entrance by faith into this. Now when you say this, whatever follows is specific. This is indicative of something very specific. We have access by faith into this grace. So he's speaking of a specific grace. The very word this shows that this is specific grace. This doesn't just say here, by whom also we have access by faith into grace. That's not what it says. It says we have access into this grace. This grace. This favor. So we have to ask, what is this grace? Well, is it not peace with God? It is reconciliation with God. We have access by faith into this grace. And then notice what it says. Wherein, referring to this grace, referring to this reconciliation with God, wherein we, the justified, no one else but the justified, wherein we stand. So we stand in this grace. We stand in this grace of peace with God. We're planted in it. We are set in it. We are established in it. It's perfect present tense, indicating that it is immovable. We stand in this grace. No matter what happens, I stand in this grace. No matter what I do, I stand in this grace. I have peace with God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. This is eternal security. And it's a result of justification. So wherein we stand. That speaks of a permanent establishment in this grace. This grace of peace with God. This grace of access. We stand permanently. So wherein we stand means stability, security, continuance. Before salvation, God looked upon us in a legal manner. And in a legal manner, we were under the law. And under the law, we were rebels against God. But now, we stand before Him in a different manner. We stand in grace. We stand in this grace of acceptance. We stand in this grace of favor. Again, by whom, Jesus Christ, it all goes back to Him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, peace with God, access, wherein we stand. What a standing the child of God has. The question is, are we living in light of that truth? We stand in this grace, peace with God. We've pointed this out many times, but there is a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. The New Testament speaks of both. Peace with God can never be changed. It's permanent. It's eternal. We do not always enjoy the peace of God. We do not always experience that. That is dependent upon our life. It is dependent upon the manner of our living. If you do not enjoy the peace of God, it's because you don't live right. It's just that simple. It's no one else's fault. It's your fault. If we do not have the peace of God. So we see we have three. We have peace with God by cause of justification. We have access into this grace, and we stand in this grace, so we have a standing. Fourthly, because of this, we have the assurance of a glorious future. He goes on in verse 2, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in this grace, which is peace with God. And that causes us to rejoice, or to exalt, to glory in what? In hope. Hope here speaks of assurance, confidence, desire, and expectation. And what is our assurance? What is our confidence? What is our desire? What is our expectation of the glory of God? That's glorification. Because of justification, because we have peace with God, because we have access, because we stand in this grace, because we stand in peace with God, one day, God is going to bestow glory upon us. This is what he talks about, notice, in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I believe that every child of God, and I mean every child of God, I believe somewhere within them there is a groaning to be set free from these bodies. There is a desire. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 5 in verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If all we can think about is staying here, you have every reason to question whether or not you've ever been justified. Because one of the blessed results of justification is that we rejoice in this hope, this assurance, that we are of the glory of God. And then lastly, another result we see in verses 3 through 5. In verse 3, he says, and not only so. The result here is a wonderful life. We have peace with God. We have access. We have a standing in grace. We have the assurance of a glorious future. But also, the justified have a wonderful life upon this earth. One of the results of justification is it leads to a wonderful life. We read on a few different occasions in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. And the word just there simply means the justified shall live by faith. Doesn't say they probably will, it says they will. Doesn't even say they should. It says the just shall live by faith. And James makes this very clear, James chapter 2, that if we do not have works that line up with our justification, we're not justified. So justification produces a certain kind of life. And he says here in verse 3, and not only so. And not only so. Not only do the justified rejoice in the expectation of future glory. But notice, not only so, but we glory. The word glory there is the same word translated rejoice in the previous verse. We glory in tribulations also. Now read that very carefully. We glory in tribulations also. That is, in addition to having the blessed assurance of the glory of God, we rejoice in that. We glory in that. But we also glory in tribulations. Tribulations has reference to affliction, has reference to pressures, stresses, difficulties, illness, persecutions, etc. The reaction of the justified to these things. We glory in. We glory in tribulations also. Does it say that we merely put up with tribulations? That's not what it says. It says we glory in tribulations also. It's one of the results of justification. The child of God does not merely resign themselves to tribulations. Well, this world is full of tribulations and you just got to get through it and that's just the way it is. You just resign yourself to it. That's not what this verse says. It doesn't say that the justified simply resign themselves to sufferings. It says they glory in tribulations. They exult in tribulations. And notice also, it does not say that we glory in spite of tribulations. That is, we rejoice in the future hope in spite of tribulation. That's not what that says. It says that we do rejoice in hope of the glory of God, but then those very important words, four words, and not only so. That is, it's not just saying that we glory in the hope of the glory of God and we do so in spite of tribulations. That's not what it says. It says we glory in the hope of glory and we glory in tribulations also. So what does that mean? That means that we glory on account of them. We glory in tribulations also. We glory on account of them. Notice in Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Again, if we're justified by faith, these are the results of justification by faith. If you always have the wrong reaction to trials, guess what, my friend? You're lost. I mean, I'm not trying to be cruel. You're lost. Based on Romans chapter 5, you can go all through the Bible. Philippians 1 verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. And that is one reason we can rejoice in it, because it's given to us in behalf of Christ. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer. But also to suffer for His sake. It's given to us on behalf of Christ. James chapter 1. Verse 2. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. This is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Count it all joy. When the trial's over, that's not what it says. But when you fall into tribulations. Why? Why is that a joyful thing? Because it's Philippians 1:29. It's given to us in behalf of Christ. to suffer these things. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. But rejoice. Notice this is a fiery trial. Rejoice. In so much, here's why we're to rejoice, in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. That's talking about what we said earlier in verse 2, that hope of future glory. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. When we're persecuted, when we're reproached for the name of Christ, we're to be happy, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but in your part He is glorified. So we see this justification causes us to have a different reaction to suffering than the rest of the world. It's a pretty sad day when the lost man responds better than the so-called saved individual to tribulation. That's pretty sad. Notice, how is it that we can rejoice or glory in tribulations? Verse 3. Knowing. We can glory in tribulations also because we know something. Knowing, we know something about tribulation. We know something about the nature of tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, we can rejoice in tribulation because we know that tribulation worketh or produces something else. And it produces patience. So tribulations are a process that works out certain results. And knowing that, we can rejoice. We can rejoice. James, well, he goes on in verse 4. Not only does this tribulation work patience, but the patience that it produces experience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. So these tribulations, we know that they lead to patience, which is endurance, which is calm endurance. And this calm endurance leads to experience. What does this mean? Experience is an experiment. It is a way of proving. Tribulation increases our endurance. It increases our calm. We have a calm endurance in tribulation, and that gives us experience. In other words, that proves that we are justified by faith. It proves that a work of grace has been done. And this is what James speaks of. Notice in James chapter 1, and verse 12, James 1 verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's patience. Patience is endurance. For when he is tried, that's that experience, when he is proven, when he is put to the test, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried. There's that experience again. It's proof that it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You say, you make a profession of faith, and that profession of faith is going to be tried. That profession of faith is going to be tested. That is true. That is true in salvation. That is true in doctrine. It is true in conviction. It's going to be put to the test. And that's why it's almost scary to listen to some people talk when they say, well, I would never do that. Oh, you're going to be put to the test. You're going to be put to the test. The test is coming. And most, because of their spirit, fail the test. So we see a process here in Romans chapter 5. Tribulations produce endurance. And that's not just endurance, that's calm. That's calm endurance. We remain calm. And that patience leads to testing or proof, which leads to hope. Or more assurance. It gives us even more assurance. That's one another reason that we can glory in tribulation. Because when we come through tribulation, what does that do? It gives us even more assurance that God is who He said He is. And it gives us more assurance concerning the justification by faith. And then notice what it says, verse 5, and hope. This assurance maketh not ashamed. That is, it will not disappoint you. It will not deceive you. And here's why. Because. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because. In other words, he's about to state the reason. He's about to state the reason. And the reason, once again, just like justification, is not in us. But it's because of Him. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. We will not be disappointed. This assurance that we have, we will not be disappointed because the love of God. You see, these tribulations, the patience, patient endurance of tribulations gives us a personal sense of His love to us. It's sad when someone professes salvation and they have no personal sense whatsoever of the love of God to them. None. That leads to a miserable life. You read about the love of God, you hear about it, but you don't feel it. That's misery. The love of God is shed. That is, it's poured out, abundantly produced, abroad, that is, widely, in our hearts. In our hearts, where it affects all the faculties of the soul. Where it affects every fiber of our being. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That is, we're made to feel the love of God. And how does this happen? By reason of the Holy Ghost, which is given, that's grace, which is given unto us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it is the seal of our redemption. So what we have here is hope is strengthened. Our assurance is strengthened by which the love of God becomes more of a reality in our hearts. That results in a wonderful life. So our text begins with being justified by faith. The results, the blessing of that is beyond words. Justified by faith results in we have peace with God. Read Romans 8, 35 through 39. This is permanent. This is a permanent peace. We have peace with God. Christ has slain the enmity. He's done away with it. He's done away with it. There's nothing we could do. He did it all. So we have peace with God as a result of this justification. We also have freedom to enter through the favor of Jesus Christ. How foolish it is for you and I to have the freedom to enter into the very presence of God because of Him, that we do not avail ourselves of such. How foolish. How foolish it is to go anywhere else. We have access. Jesus Christ introduces us. This is Dan Gordon. I died for him. I live for him. He has right of entry. All because of Jesus Christ. All of this gives us a standing, a permanent standing in this grace, this peace with God, which assures us of final victory. It assures us of glory in heaven. But we don't just get through this life knowing that one day we're going to go to heaven, and in the meantime, we just got to get through this. That's not salvation. Salvation results in a wonderful life here as well. It results in us rejoicing in tribulation because we know the nature. We know the nature. We know the reason for tribulation. You see, when tribulation comes to someone's life and the immediate thought is, God is punishing me because of this or because of that, or someone begins, well, I wonder what he did. You have a totally messed up view on who God is. You really do. And we suffer because it is true that God will send suffering as chastisement. There's no question. But it is given us on behalf of Christ to suffer. This was this mistake that Job's friends made. They assumed because such terrible thing happened, Job had to have done something to bring it about. Do you realize that every second of every day we deserve the punishment of God? Every second. But not all suffering is the result that there's sin in my life. There's always sin in my life. There's always sin in your life. Always. But that is not always the direct reason for suffering. And we can rejoice in it. And that suffering gives us patience. It gives us a calm endurance. Yes, we all react wrong from time to time. We react wrong to things. But when someone reacts wrong every single time, they can't possibly be saved because it goes against everything the Scriptures teach us. We have to have a right reaction. Salvation will cause us to have a right reaction. We glory in tribulations. It gives us this calm endurance, which gives us proof. I'm saved. I have peace with God. And when you have that assurance again, that assurance grows. It gives us hope, and then we feel more and more the love of Christ being shed abroad in our hearts, and that's a wonderful life. So we say justification is not just for glory. It's for this life also. We are justified by faith. Do you know that tonight? Do you know with absolute certainty that you have been justified by God? That you have been pronounced not guilty before God? And let us never forget, the reason we are not guilty is due to nothing in us. Because in and of ourselves, we are guilty. We are as guilty as any lost sinner on the planet, in and of ourselves. But because of Christ, God has said, not guilty. What a blessing. Peace with God. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us verse 7.